Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
And a wonderful day to you. This is Brad Zockel, and you're listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast. I thank you so much for joining me. If you're new to our podcast, you can go way back. I believe that our editor, Miss Andrea, can verify the fact that we've been doing these podcasts now. I believe it's been a year and a half, and it has been just a joy to be able to go through the Scriptures, especially Revelation. There have been many people that have told me that they've never touched on Revelation. Their church does not preach Revelation. One of our handyman said his local church does not get near Revelation because the pastor said it would scare people. And that's a real shame because we can find some great truths here. We can be encouraged. We can be given hope. And I tell you again and again, two of the most comforting chapters to me, you'll find them in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Don't worry, we'll be there very, very soon and see the promises by God to the believer. God, Titus 1:2, who cannot lie, Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for him to lie. Oh, he's got some promises there for the believer, just wonderful things that John will relate. But right now, this in answer to the judgment against the evildoers of Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, or the prayers of the saints through the ages, and when will wickedness be taken care of? You know, this goes way back to Habakkuk. This goes back to the book of Job. Why do bad things happen to good people? And really, why do good things happen to bad people? We're getting the answers. Things are wrapping up. Think about it. Our last podcast, as I was thinking about it, we are reading Satan is defeated. He's gone. He will be no more. He will never be a part of the conversation. He will never be an intimidation. And along with that is the cause for so many things. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3 says, well, look now, the curse is gone. Revelation 21 verse 27, there's nothing here in our eternal living with the Lord that is going to show that anything is defiled. We're in incorruptible bodies. What a promise. Now, we look now at the rebellious, those that have mocked through the ages, those who have assassinated, as Jesus himself says, stoned the prophets, killed those who were sent unto them. Now they come into account, the rebellious. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. When you see this, this is telling us about the great judgment, the vast judgment upon the rebellious. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. They were judged, each one, listen carefully now, according to his works. Verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that finishes out the chapter here of Revelation chapter 20. So let's go into this and see how far we can go in our time. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in our ministry. I really do appreciate you as you have been praying and keeping us on your prayer list. The Heaven Tour has been actually a tour throughout this summer. I just think, well, since the beginning of the year. It's been wonderful to have traveled to Pennsylvania, over to Maryland, to Delaware, South Carolina, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, and so on. It has been wonderful, and you've been very, very kind in your giving, in your encouragement, in your letters, your emails. It's been very good. And the live streams, There was a time whenever I would be on live stream on YouTube and there might be 20 people watching. And I glanced up the other day and realized that we had hit a peak of 700 people that were watching at one time. And now I will see it will vary back and forth on YouTube, for example, that we will be talking to anywhere between 200 and 300 people, and then it will peak here and there. So the outreach is just growing, and you have been so faithful in your prayers, and I just really appreciate that. Your friendship means so much. And getting to meet you and face-to-face is just a wonderful time. Yeah, you just coming back from Hamilton, Alabama. What a great time, and seeing old friends and then meeting new ones. And this Sunday, heading on over to a Bible study in Newberry, South Carolina, to a family that is hosting at their house and inviting everybody in. What a grand time, like a family reunion. You've been very, very kind on that, and allowing me to share things with you on places like the podcast here. That means a lot, and I thank you so much for that. Well, let's go into it. Let's just see how far we can go in this. And so many people have said, why doesn't God judge? And we've got to remember something. When we look back in 2 Peter chapter 3, we saw people even mocking. Well, he hasn't judged now. It hasn't happened in quite a long time. And then the reminder is, God is waiting to allow as many people to repent, to turn to him as possible. And always remember this, 2 Peter 3:8, heavenly time is not the same as earthly time. Don't start judging by your calendar or clock. Well, here we go. Here is the judgment time against the rebellions. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon. I want you to think back. When we go back, we're even seeing the throne being mentioned. One of the final classes I took in undergrad at the Christian college where I attended was called Daniel and Revelation, and showed continual times the linking of these two wonderful books. Daniel chapter 7 was brought up. I'm going to quote this. Daniel is saying this in a vision that he had. Quote, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. That's the name for God, Ancient of Days. His garment was white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. Doesn't that sound familiar with what we're talking about right now? The throne is set up. Fire, as we've talked about numerous times in our study, anytime you see fire in the Bible, it denotes holy judgment. It's not only a throne that is of fire, it is issuing forth the flames of judgment. Isn't this in contrast to Revelation chapter 22 in the opening verses? That very throne is issuing forth life-giving water, the water of life. There's no judgment in the place of the believer, but here there is, and it's been prophesied way back in Daniel chapter 7, as I said, verses 9 and 10 here. And when you see this, the judgment happens, and this is God himself, Yahweh, on the throne in this. And when we see this, this is closing down. We've just seen the closing down of the activity of Satan. He's done. He's thrown. Thrown into the lake of fire. He's done. The abyss. He's gone. But now we see the judgment is coming by the Lord against those. Heaven and earth have fled away. And this gives us the idea that this is during the renovation, during this judgment, the renovation of the present heaven and present earth, as it is prophesied in 2 Peter chapter 3, is now happening here. This is the Ancient of Days. This is God, and he is the judge right here. When we see this, on behalf of the Son, God is doing the judging. This is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. And when we see this here, the Father is going to be giving this judgment here. Now, I don't want to forget this. We did see this, and I saw a great white throne. Now, think about this. When you're talking about this passage, great is talking about the magnificence. How tall is this throne? We have no idea. Is it 50 miles high? Is it 50,000 miles? We have no idea what this is. Is this symbolic in this judgment? Well, as we look at it here in the spiritual reality is that judgment is happening here, and it is magnificent in its power. Great. It's also white, and when we look through the Bible, we've talked about this. We've talked about white meaning purity. We've talked about white meaning the wisdom with age as well in the hair, white like wool of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. But we're talking mostly about the holy Lord God here in that. Think about it. When we go back, we've talked about this. Psalm 60 and verse 6, God speaks in his holiness. Psalm 47 says God is, he sits upon the throne of his holiness. And this indeed is this. This is a throne. Every time we see it in the Bible, it's talking about power, authority. And this is what's happening here. Now, we do know this when we see that in John chapter 5, it does tell us that the judgment is given to the Son. And yet we see the Ancient of Days is prophesied in Daniel that we just read here. The Father is on the throne. But listen to what it tells us in John chapter 5. The Father judges no one, has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son as they honor the Father. Remember this. So what could we be seeing here? Well, it's when people will ask me so many times, will we see the Trinity in heaven? We keep seeing the reference to the Father and the Son on the throne at the same time through Revelation. Very well could be that we're seeing this here, that the Father and the Son are now the truth of the triune God is being here. We've also remembered, we've talked about this, the Holy Spirit, he is there. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14, Revelation chapter 22, he's even inviting us too. So we're seeing the great white throne judgment. What happens? From his presence. We're not talking about a benevolent Santa Claus-like character here. We're talking about one that had such a power. Heaven and earth fled away. Indeed, intimidating even to the believers. Now, we're so thankful that we're not under this judgment, but still, in looking at this, we realize that God means business, if I can use that term. God, and the very, very reality that the heaven and earth would flee away, that we're seeing that this judgment is going to be something that has no compromise here. There's found no place for them. You're going to see, this is the God who is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. You can't escape him. And we're so thankful that we're under the protection. It's so good that we can be with him, not against him. When we take a look at this in here, the dead, small and great, there is no delineation. They stand before God. You don't see them in repose. They're standing at judgment. The books are open. When you see this, when you see that they are standing there, there is no chance for them to be in any relaxed position, nor is it them sitting in a judgment table where they are pleading their case. This would be them standing, could you say this? They're about to be sentenced, right? Because this is where, is there any proof of anybody saying, listen, let me show you these documents, Lord, and then you're going to have to let me go through. No, this is the judgment seat. This is the time. And the dead were judged according to their works. So what happens? Now, when you say that, well, if you can, you know, if you would go by my works, are there those that could say, well, my works will outdo any faith in Jesus Christ? But remember, Jesus Christ died for the penalty, the just for the unjust, as it says, as Peter tells us. We were unjust. How could we earn this? There is none righteous, no, not one, and these wages is death. The sentence has been passed on those, and those that would plead the case, this is very futile. They take these books and they show them, but what does it say very, very clearly? Doesn't matter what those books say, what you've given to charity, or the extra time that you've spent, or those times, because of the outweighing of what you've been thinking, your thoughts, your intents, your actions in secret. They will outweigh any of these good things. Just like I told youth group, you know, so many years ago, you know, somebody goes in and they give money to a shelter. for example. But on the way over there in traffic, they're thinking wrong thoughts, they're breaking the law, they're speeding, they're going home after they're passing their check over there, they're filled with pride, they head home, they're arguing, all of these things outweigh. Let's just say there were five things that they did wrong for that one good gesture. They're already sunk. Or as I believe it was Our Daily Bread, the ministry talked about, I believe it's a true story, it was relayed on there, and I can't remember the names of the people, but a young girl came over and she said, I just haven't done anything wrong, you know, in my life. And I think she was 13 at the time, I'm trying to remember the story. And the very kind youth leader said, well, let me ask you, you're 13 years of age, let's just take 10 when you're in full knowledge of doing right and wrong. Do you think that each day you have one wrong thought? And she said, well, I'll be honest with you, yeah, just one wrong thought. You know, do you think there's one thing that you do that's actually wrong? And she says, yeah, that would be fair, about one a day. You know, would there be any place that you should be or any action that you take out where you're going that would be wrong? She said, yeah. I said, okay, so it's about three a day? She goes, yeah, I'll leave it at that, about three a day. He says, well, then if we just take the 10 years of responsibility in your life, well, you're telling me it would be at least 1,000 a year, 1,000 sins a year, and you're talking about 10,000 sins, and you think you can make heaven that way? Despite this girl feeling very self-righteous, the story went on in that ministry telling us that she went to bed that night just thinking 10,000 sins, 10,000 sins. Well, it led her to salvation. She realized she's not righteous. These people will come over here, look at these books. They're books of works. Does it say that these books are of justification? That they're books of holiness done by works? No. No, we don't see that at all. They are going to be judged according to their works, and there is no escape from this too. And it says this, when we talk about the sea giving up the dead who were in it and all of these things, you're getting an idea that everyone who has been revealed can't hide from the Lord. Heaven and earth fled away, but there was no place for them, neither here. No matter where your situation, even as diverse of the places of the unburied as well as the buried, they're going to be put into judgment here. Now, when we see this, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, the second death here. Think about this. Why do we have death? Where did this end? Was death in the Garden of Eden? No, no. This was, as you take a look at the four horsemen in Revelation chapter 6, what did it say? Death was there and hell followed. Remember? It's the only one of the horsemen, the pale horse, that had a specific name. Death, physical death. Hell, the spiritual death. All right? So what happens here? Those horsemen are now being punished themselves. When you see it, death is over, cast in the lake of fire. Hades, the spiritual, gone. There's no more. It's like what Hebrews chapter 2 says. And not only was the penalty taken away, the fear of death was taken away whenever Jesus Christ went to the cross. Cast into the lake of fire. When we see this here, this is going to be the final destination. Think about this when Paul will refer and many times the term Hades, which was used and familiar with the Greeks, the place of the afterlife. I think it's in the Odyssey. Odysseus goes into hell, and their thinking was it's a morose, misty, smelly, musty, dark place of nothing. And everybody goes there, and I think, if I can remember, he bumps into Alexander the Great, who says, I would give anything to be a stable boy for one more year. I'll give up all my battles just to get out of here. And so the Greeks did agree, whatever in the afterlife, it's going to be a bad one. Well, the reference is used here in Hades to give the idea too. And you'll see this when we talk about these destinations of the damned are here. Indeed, this is the second death. I'm thinking about this, and I look at the very, very powerful Bible scholars who talk about this very explicit term, the second death. When we move on and we're born again, they are there to die again. Isn't that impactful when you think about this? When Satan is then thrown into the eternal damnation, so will these that said, well, I may not have worshipped Satan, But I certainly didn't worship God. Well, what does that mean? Basically, they worship themselves, and the end would be their name is not written in the book of life. It's what I tell whenever I was traveling and I was working with rescue missions. I think of the one in Oakland when I would talk with that group, or I was over in various places when I would talk with the gentleman. Let me go back to the Richmond Rescue Mission in Richmond, California, back when I was single, and I was speaking to them, and I said, you know, let's just make salvation very simple, all right? So many people will say so many different things, but let's make it simple. And then the men were nodding their head. Okay, Brad, okay, tell us. I said, well, here's what it is. God's got some rules for getting into heaven. And they look at each other. They're like, well, that would make sense. I mean, we have rules in our lives. God should have rules too. Okay, so basically he says this. You go to Revelation, and he has a book. And his book is called the Book of Life. Okay, we've got you, Brad. Well, you have to have your name in this book to get to heaven. All right? If your name's in the book, you get to heaven. If your name's not in the book, you don't go to heaven. And they're nodding, okay, we got it. Said, well, what we want to do tonight is make sure your name's in the book. And if you know it's not in the book, is to get your name in the book. What do you say? We start from there. And they're like, okay, okay. So it is very simple. If you want to get down to the simplicity of salvation, is this, start from here. It was just why we have the heaven ministry. Is this, look, here's the end result of the Christian. Heaven, that's the finish line. That's simple enough. Now let's talk about how to get there. Well, then here's another way. We've got this book. Let's make it simple. There's a book of life. If you're in it, you get to go to heaven and be with God in his joy. It's kind of like a family book. You're signing the registry of your family. If you're not there, you don't go. Simple as that. And that really is the simplicity of the gospel or of salvation in Jesus Christ. We see here these people decide. They want to argue. It doesn't wash. All right? They want to cajole. They want to threaten. They want to cry. No, it's too late. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It's appointed man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment, there's the judgment. The great white throne judgment. I say, Revelation 20:15, I've said this for years, is to me the saddest verse in the Bible. Whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And friend, if you're listening to this right now and you do not know for sure if your name's in that book, you run to Jesus. Give him your life. Give him everything. Give him those sins. Anything, as that one girl said, 10,000 sins. You know you have more than those. I knew I had more than those. And the best decision you can make is, as we finish this podcast, is coming to Christ. Would you do that? Make sure if you're not sure. Contact me if you have any questions, brad@theheaventour.com, and we can talk. God bless you. Take care, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.